Welcome to DFW Alive, a show for North Texas by North Texans. Join us each Friday as our local hosts help inspire us to live a life of virtue. Here is your host for today.
Welcome to DFW Alive and Faith and Leadership. This is your host, Jerry Jacob. We're so excited to be with you today. A very special day, and we have a very special guest in studio with us. We are a couple of weeks from concluding this great sacred season of Lent, this topic is so close to my heart. I think last month we spoke a little bit about what Lent is all about: prayer, fasting. But there's a third component to our practice as Christians, to our life as Christians, and the walk that we walk during the season of Lent. And you know, you can define it any way. We might call it almsgiving, might call it serving the poor, serving the needy. And it's a very important part of our life as Christians. And so I'm so excited to have with us today the leader, the CEO of an organization that I think may well be preeminent, really, not only in North Texas in serving the needy, those that are our neighbors in need, I think, as they'd say, but also across the world. And so welcome to the show, Luis Gonzalez.
Good morning, Jerry.
Thank you for being here with us, Luis. This is you and the work that your organization does are great inspirations to me, as I've said to you before, and I want to really unpack that today in our conversation. But, you know, as we always do, before we start the show, I want to ask that we sort of turn our hearts to the Lord with a brief prayer. And I'd like to do so by reading the collect from our Mass today. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who have prepared fitting helps for us in our weakness, grant, we pray, that we may receive their healing effects with joy and reflect them in a holy way of life, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Luis, thank you for being with us. We're here to talk about the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and you know, I really don't know of an organization that has the kind of scale, the scope across the world, really. And you know, and I've lived elsewhere in the world, and I was raised in the church all the way across the world, and even there, the St. Vincent de Paul Society, its reputation precedes it. So it's really an amazing organization, and there are quite a number of folks that work to serve the needy in our society, in our church. But the St. Vincent de Paul Society is an amazing really beacon in all that work. So I want to welcome you. You lead, you're the CEO of the North Texas organization of St. Vincent de Paul Society?
Correct.
Okay. And so, that covers, give me a quick sense for the scope of the region.
So the scope of our region would be the Diocese of Dallas, the nine counties that, constitute the Diocese of Dallas. Okay. And so that's includes over 800 Vincentians, which are the volunteers, the members of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul that go and do the work of the Lord. And
there's 800
Vincentians in Dallas and in the Diocese of Dallas, and then probably about another 300 to 400 in Fort Worth. So all told, when you look at the Dallas Fort Worth Metroplex, it's over 1,000 Vincentians that are doing the work of the Lord.
Okay, so there's sort of a separate chapter on the Fort Worth diocese side.
Correct, a separate council. Okay. We work very closely with them, but it is a separate council since it's a different diocese.
Okay, so you know, I want to ask you about the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and there's so much to learn about its history. And more importantly, about what you're doing today. But let's step back a little bit and ask you about yourself. And we're good friends from decades, really, of having raised children together and being involved in the church together. But Luis, the beautiful thing about your journey is that this is a relatively new endeavor for you. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So you've been CEO for just a couple of years now?
3 years now.
Okay.
3 years in January.
All right. So, you were inspired to join this effort. Give me a little bit of a sense of your path.
Sure. And Jerry, thank you again for having me on today. It's a blessing and a pleasure to be here. And it's a joy to be able to share a little bit of my story, and more importantly, importantly, the story of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul.
Yeah.
So I was in the corporate space, working in global IT, primarily in the financial services area, with insurance companies and a private equity firm.
Yeah.
And then coming out of COVID, I just really had a sense that I felt like the Lord was calling me to do something different.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, coming out of COVID, I ended up getting hospitalized with COVID pneumonia.
No kidding.
And so I had 6 days that I was in the hospital, and it was during that time I had already been thinking about maybe doing something different, because I had spoken to my spiritual director, and when I told him, I was a little unsettled about some of the things I was involved in. He said that, you know, maybe the Lord's calling you to a career change.
Wow.
And so when I was in the hospital, I just started watching daily mass and started doing daily reflection. And, you know, when you're in the hospital in isolation,
yeah,
nobody can come see you.
Right.
Nobody comes by.
Right.
I had a lot of one-on-one time with the Lord, and I think he right. really stripped everything away from me so that I could see things very clearly.
Yeah. Sounds Ignatian. Isn't that what St. Ignatius of Loyola had the same experience?
I tell you what, yeah. So as I was sitting there, I was like, all right, Lord, you know, I'll follow you. And so when I got out of the hospital, I started going to a weekly adoration.
Yeah.
And, it was in adoration that I heard him very clearly just asking me to follow him. And
wow.
I said, all right, Lord, you show me and I'll follow you.
Yeah.
And after I surrendered at that point, I had a recruiter reach out to me, and ask if I was interested in the nonprofit space. And I was like, I remember looking up because it had only been about 2 weeks that since I had surrendered to the Lord and said, all right, show me what you want me to do.
He moves pretty quickly, doesn't he?
I was like, that was a little faster than I was anticipating. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And it ended up that it was an opportunity to come work at the society. And so when I started to learn about the mission and what we were all about, I was just blown away with this is everything that I've wanted to do, because the society, for all the great work that we do, a lot of people don't realize that the primary mission of the society, first and foremost, is growing the holiness of its members.
Yeah,
this is all about us deepening our relationship with the Lord, coming to understand him more deeply, allowing him to profoundly impact us and change our hearts so that we then go out and serve him.
That's where it starts, isn't it? I mean, how are you going to change the world if you're not changing yourself?
Exactly. We're encouraged in the society to go and encounter Christ in those that are forgotten, the poor, those who have no voice.
Yeah.
And we come to see him in them and encounter him in them.
Yeah.
And so as I came to understand that during the interview process, I was all in. I was like, Lord, this is it. You will make it all happen.
Well, because to be fair, you've been a man of faith, you know, most of your life, as far as I know, and you've been active in the church, you've been doing so. So this seems to me that it felt like you could really take it up a couple of notches.
Yeah, thank you. I had been a catechist at St. Anne for many years and actively involved with the Brothers in Christ and, you know, a lot of different ministries for sure, and CHIRP and things of that nature. But, I think with this, what it's transformed, because a lot of it was a lot of head knowledge and understanding of what our faith teaches us.
Right.
But it hadn't completely made the 14-inch journey down to the heart. And and that's what's been so beautiful in the 3 years that I've been with the society, is just how I'm seeing the world and life so much differently through a new lens, through new eyes, and really coming to appreciate and encounter him in every individual that I meet.
Yeah, I know enough to be dangerous, but I think there's some of the very DNA of the organization, I believe, has to do with your founder, St. Vincent, actually has to do with visiting with, being with that neighbor, being maybe home visits. Give me a little bit of a sense for that, and not simply, you know, what many of us consider to be charitable works these days.
Sure. Well, you know, so it really did begin with St. Vincent de Paul himself. You know, he was a French priest 400 years ago, that was obviously in France, and many people subscribed to him. He was the first really priest to activate the laity, because what he saw was an opportunity for the women in his parish to get involved in helping to serve the poor. There was a family that he was aware of that had no food, that had needs, that the parents were ill. Okay. And so he rallied the women. He asked the women to get involved in helping. And so they did. They brought tons of food, more food than what was needed.
Yeah.
And so he realized that there was an opportunity here to maybe organize them and get things started. And so St. Vincent de Paul himself is the patron saint of all charitable works. And so our founder, Frederick Ozanam, was 200 years later that he was inspired by the work of St. Vincent de Paul. And he was a, funny enough, Frederick Ozanam was a university student. So he was in his early 20s.
Yeah.
He and a couple of other buddies, we can call them maybe the first fraternity, right? But they were together in a debate group and they were debating with atheists and agnostics who challenged them with what's the church doing for the poor?
What has the church actually done?
Yeah. And so he looked at them and he looked at some of his confreres and he was like, you know what? They're right. We need to do something. And so the very next day they began literally knocking it from door to door in their in a neighborhood there in Paris, and it was from that they would come back and say, okay, how can we help them? Let's provide them with food, and they would start to gather their own funds. It was the institution of what's called the black bag, which is you don't know what anybody puts in there, but you just you kind of use your own donations to try and see what you can do.
Yeah,
recognizing that it's not so much what you bring to them, but it's being present to them and listening to them and understanding what their needs are.
Yeah.
And they were under the tutelage of a nun who was one of the Daughters of Charity, which was the religious order that was founded after St. Vincent de Paul started the Congregation of the Mission, which is the Vincentian priests. We happen here in the Diocese of Dallas, we have Holy Trinity is actually a Vincentian parish. It's run by Father Milton and Father Benmet, who are Vincentian priests. That's a religious order now that's been around for 400 years.
Right, and so it has its own charism and, and its own works and its own pastoral activities. But so just to recap, so St. Vincent, of course, was the founder. You said charitable works. He's credited with that, but then Frederick Ozanam, 200 years later in Paris, really was the organizer of what now has become the society.
Absolutely.
The lay society.
It's a lay organization. Yeah. Okay. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul is a Catholic lay organization.
Okay.
And it was Frederick Ozanam and his counterparts that helped to get that started in Paris, France, again, 200 years ago. And it very quickly grew and started spreading throughout the world. It came to the U.S. in, I believe it was 1854. St. Louis is where it first started. That's where our national headquarters is. And we got started here in Dallas. It'll be 70 years next year.
Wow. So, and is it true? Is there a St. Vincent de Paul organization in virtually all dioceses around the country?
Not in every single diocese in the country, but certainly in quite a few of them. Worldwide, there's over 900,000 Vincentians in 150 some odd countries.
Amazing. So it may well be, you know, when you talk about 150 some countries, it may well be among, if not the most widespread lay organization that's active.
Yes.
Across the church.
Yes.
Right? 150 countries.
Yeah, we are the largest Catholic lay organization in the world. Again, 200 years that we've been around.
Okay. So then how are you now let's talk a little bit about the structure. So it's an organization of lay people.
Mm-hmm.
Are there divisions or are there categories within among the Vincentians?
Yeah. So typically the Vincentian a group will start at a parish.
Okay.
And we have to have the support of the pastor. The pastor's got to be willing to allow us to have a conference there.
Okay.
And then there typically will be anywhere from 8 to 12 to 15 individuals that really constitute the chapter. We refer to the chapters as a conference.
Okay.
So a conference will be based out of a parish.
Okay.
We have over 40 conferences now in the Diocese of Dallas.
Okay.
With a couple of more coming online shortly, which is great. We're excited about that.
Right.
And those conferences then, when you start to see the size and scale like we're getting to, we start to create districts.
Okay.
So it's a grouping of conferences within a geographic area.
Okay.
Here in the diocese, we have six districts. districts of, okay. of conferences.
Okay.
And then all together, those are collectively part of the Diocesan Council, which is what I've got the privilege and honor of being able to lead.
Okay, so step back a little bit about what you described as being sort of the heart of the Vincentian approach to service. So you were saying that one of the things that you really focus on is forming yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You're forming yourselves in prayer and in a relationship with Christ. So talk a little bit about what happens, you know, sort of at the conference level.
Yeah. So
what might someone expect if they wanted to join the Vincentian?
So if they wanted to join, we would invite them to come to a conference meeting, okay. and every conference meeting begins first and foremost with prayer.
Okay.
We spend time in prayer. We go through a reflection of the gospel reading as well,
okay.
and we talk about what we're hearing and what we're feeling, what we're sensing from the gospel reading, and how it relates to our Vincentian charism.
Is that typically a weekly meeting, or what is that?
Yes, it could be weekly or biweekly.
Okay.
That they gather.
Okay.
And so it really is beautiful how
you get sort of a scriptural or a gospel basis,
yep.
to the way that you meet.
And there's resources that are given to us by our national council as well, you okay. know, to help us with leading some spiritual reflections. But
okay.
but the first half hour of those meetings are really intended to be spiritually focused, so that we are focused in prayer,
okay.
Spending time affirming one another and growing from one another.
Okay.
We refer to ourselves oftentimes as a network of friends, because it really truly becomes friendship.
Yeah.
Especially, Jerry, especially after we go out and do a home visit. There's nothing like the experience of going out two by two. We always go in pairs.
Okay.
When two individuals go and think that they're bringing Christ to somebody, they in turn encounter Christ in that individual,
right.
and the impact of that after they leave it can be very transformational.
Wow.
It's very powerful to know that what you just experience in trying to help somebody, how many graces you receive from just being able to be there and be a recipient from that individual.
So let me unpack that a little bit. So is this actually, I'm going to call it, unitize it, is this what you do? So you have a conference,
mm-hmm.
and you're aware of needs in the community.
Yes.
But then how you organize is that you will have teams of two people, that then go out and actually set an appointment and visit with someone.
Yep.
And are you typically trying to do that in people's homes?
Yes.
Is that pretty much?
You know, unlike, other organizations where people come to an office, with us, what we do, because it is foundational to the way the roots and the way this began, was we ask if we can come into people's homes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we recognize that it takes a lot of courage for somebody, first and foremost, to just ask for help, to make a call and say, I need help.
Right.
Or to
welcome someone or to ask someone in their home.
Yeah. Right? The courage to allow somebody to really the real darkness of what they're involved
in. Right.
And we do that because it's from that home visit that oftentimes we may go with the intent of, well, they asked for utility assistance, as an example.
Yeah.
But we go and we find out that there's other things that are going on that they have that we might be able to provide resources for or assistance.
Yeah.
And it's from that we also, it helps to spawn some other ideas and some other concepts, like our pharmacy, the charitable pharmacy, which, we can talk about that in a little bit. But, that was one of the great ideas that came from these home visits, was recognizing people were not able to pay for food or for rent because they were paying for their medications.
Yes.
So we had to come up with a solution for how could we try and help them with that.
Well, it strikes me as being, on one hand, so such a crazy idea, so novel, right, in this day and age, that it really seems foreign that you go see someone in their home, right? It's what an idea that you actually encounter their life, their living room, their home, maybe their family environment. And we're really strangers, aren't we, to each other in our society? We have a society where we're such individuals in this, in Western society. We really don't want anybody to we don't actually touch and feel people in their home setting, or the other way around. And people don't want to open up their doors in that sense. And I'm just reflecting in my mind about some visits that I've made with my children, for instance, when delivering Thanksgiving baskets from our parish, and how it struck me to actually, I don't think we spent much time in those homes, but just to cross the threshold and to stand there and to and to see someone in their environment, in their home, really brought a completely new light, shed a new light on their circumstances. And it's really, it's uncomfortable. It's Louise, right? I'm sure you're the first one that you've learned this over the years, but it's uncomfortable. But at the same time, I think it really, once we cross that threshold, all of a sudden we can be more one with them, right? We can understand them better.
Definitely.
than putting something on a form.
Thank you for saying what you said. You used two words that I think are very powerful and very indicative of what we do. Threshold.
Yeah.
You do cross the threshold by going into someone's home, and encountering them, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just encountering them.
Yeah.
We're encountering Christ in them.
Yeah.
And the profound impact that has, and the realization that this is the Lord that I'm helping now, right?
Yeah.
It harkens back to, you know, the gospel message from Matthew, right? About, tending to the poor, and you took care of me when you brought food to me, when you gave me, water, when you visited me, when you clothed me.
Right.
That's Him that we are encountering. So
right.
you cross a threshold that requires you to be humble and have the humility to say, all right, Lord, use me as you will.
Yes.
But it also, you're reciprocating the same humility that the individual that allows you to come into their home, to come into their lives.
Yeah.
We like to refer to it as, we don't want this to be transactional. We want this to be relational.
Mm.
Because so many times, Jerry, we may not be able to help them materially, but what they tell us is, you came to see me.
You paid attention to me.
You heard my story. I'm sharing a story that I haven't shared with anybody.
Yeah.
And you're giving me hope.
Yeah.
Just that little bit now of hope that somebody listened to me.
Yeah.
That somebody sees me.
Yeah.
That somebody heard me.
Yeah.
And, you know, our response is, well, God sees you. And if you're seeing Him through us, then how blessed are we to be able to experience that?
Yeah, it's something. One of my great heroes is Mother Teresa, and you know, her work. I actually grew up in Calcutta, and of course she was always it struck me that she was never afraid of being present to people, of really being in those human circumstances. It's always about seeing Christ in the poor, or really in anyone that you encountered. And my wife and I were just in Guatemala a couple of weeks ago doing mission work. And of course, it doesn't mean that you have to get on a plane to go do the kind of work that you do. But it was amazing when we made home visits with those very poor, peasants there. How everything completely changed once we were able to, as you say, cross that threshold to see them in their home and to encounter them as human beings, and to be one face to face with them, person to person, present. It was a beautiful, sweet, pure interaction that I just don't think we have anymore in our society. And I want to ask you more about this. I want to ask you more about sort of the nature of what you see in terms of needs in the community. And there's so much more that you can tell us about what St. Vincent de Paul does. We're talking today with Luis Gonzalez, and Luis is CEO of the North Texas region for St. Vincent de Paul Society, learning about their good work and how we might help them to continue and to grow this incredible work of service. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Faith and Leadership on DFW Live.
St. Paul the Apostle Catholic Church in Richardson is hosting its fourth annual Trivia Night fundraiser benefiting their youth, young adult, and adult ministries. The Trivia Night fundraiser will take place on Saturday, April 5th, beginning at 7 p.m. at St. Paul Parish Center in Richardson. Grab your friends and family for a night of friendly competition. The evening includes great food, beer and wine bar, childcare entertainment, and raffle prizes. Get your tickets today by visiting stpaulchurch.org.
It was easy with the pills in the mail.
I thought things would go back to normal.
It's been anything but easy.
Every day, I'm sad.
Guilt and shame are what I know best.
Are you suffering because of a past abortion? You're not alone. We can help. Call 214-544-CARE.
I miss my child.
I miss who I was and regret what I did.
Don't suffer alone. Call 214-544-CARE or go to RachelDallas.org.
All students in grades 8 through 12 are invited to a fun, faith-filled, Eucharistic-centered retreat. The Ablaze Weekend Retreat will take place on Friday, April 25th through Sunday, April 27th at Holy Family of Nazareth Catholic Church in Irving. The retreat is an opportunity for young people to encounter the power and richness of God's love and mercy. The weekend is led by the Franciscan Friars and Sisters of the Renewal. The retreat features inspiring talks, lively music, faith, and fellowship. To register, visit ablazeretreat.com.
The immigration attorneys with McGregor Noblad in Dallas, Texas are new sponsors of the Guadalupe Radio Network. They're redefining the way attorneys represent their clients. They invite you to call them to speak directly with an attorney about any immigration-related question you might have. To learn more about the immigration services offered by McGregor Noblad, you can visit them online at McGregorFirm.com or by phone at 214-720-9555. That's 214-720-9555.
Welcome back to Faith and Leadership. We are talking today with Luis Gonzalez, CEO of St. Vincent de Paul in North Texas. Before we continue, I do want to remind everyone of an amazing event that's coming up this summer. July 19th, the Guadalupe Radio Network is celebrating its 25th anniversary of keeping the promise, we're calling it, and the theme is all about how this network has served to open hearts, the media evangelization, and to bring the word of God into people's lives in a very intimate way with the radio. We encourage everyone to come out. It's going to be at the Plano Convention Center on July the 19th, a day full of amazing speakers, a concert at the end with Matt Maher, adoration, a beautiful collection of relics that you can personally view, and confession, sacred liturgy of the Eucharist. So we're going to have an amazing day on July 19th. Go to grnonline.com and look at the events page there to hear more and to register. There's no fee to attend, but we hope you'll come out and join everybody and join in this incredible celebration of this this network. And I want to thank Cecil Anderson, who's producing the show, and of course the entire staff of in North Texas at KATAs and across the network. So Luis, we were talking earlier about the personal nature of that engagement that St. Vincent de Paul really not only encourages, but it's really a part of it, the very core of how you do service. And it strikes me that there are some great organizations that are doing a lot of work. They're all needed because we have, you know, the poor we'll always have amongst us, right? I think Christ said that. We'll always have with you. And yet, I think there's something transformative, so transformative about the way, first of all, transformative to those who are serving, to, you know, your Vincentians, those that are seeking to serve the needy. And that's what you've been saying here all along. So it's really all about forming yourselves first, being open to Christ in your neighbor, and not just sort of going down this list and ticking off a group of statistics and maybe connecting dollars to needs, but really personally being engaged. So tell us a little bit more about that, and I want to hear about the various works of service that you do also.
Yeah, thank you, Jerry. You know, it is, as you said, it is very transformative. I remember we surveyed our Vincentians just to ask them, you know, is being a part of the society, is it helping your spiritual your life, you know, or do you find that you're deepening your faith? And, you know, 96% of our Vincentians were like, absolutely, this has had such a significant impact on me and has helped me better understand who I am as a son or daughter of God and who my brother and sisters are. And really it's beautiful to see that kind of feedback from the very members who go out and do the great work that they do. And again, we're very blessed that we have, you know, 1,000 Vincentians again in the Metroplex that are going out and doing this work. So that can't help but change not only them, but then other people that see them, you know, doing that work. And it really just becomes this blossoming effect of seeing, here's how we're able to serve in a very unique and very profound way. And then be able to hear the stories from our neighbors as well of how that's transformed them and how it's helped them and given them hope.
So help me to understand where you sort of fit in. First of all, you know, we live in a funny time. And on one hand, there's such great wealth and such great opportunity, in our society. And yet, so many needs. And I want you to kind of sketch out for us a little bit, Luis, what you've discovered in leading this organization, what the scope and the scale of the needs are in North Texas. What are the things where you find the greatest needs, and where are you attacking these problems in our community?
Wow. You can go in a lot of different directions here, but the needs are great, you know, as you mentioned. And I will say that we are very blessed to be in this community in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. This is a tremendously philanthropic, giving, caring community. I had no idea, and I've been so struck by how willing individuals are to give and to help and to be a part of great work. And it really is about trying then to get them to know what it is that we're doing and invite them to become a part of it.
Okay.
And so again, that's been just such a beautiful blessing to be able to see that and to recognize that. And so again, we're very fortunate in that regard.
Okay.
The flip side of that is that there is such a great need. And the needs come to us in a variety of different ways. Again, oftentimes people will contact us looking for assistance with rent or utility. That seems to be the prevalent need that folks have, and in particular, with the housing crisis being what it's been, with the demand for apartments and the rising cost of rent and mortgages and things of that nature, people are looking for assistance in those two areas.
So, you know, very basic needs, right? So lodging, you know, the most expensive, and it is, and even though we tend to be somewhat affordable nationally, it's incredible. It boggles my mind how expensive housing is.
And it also happens to mirror what we're seeing just nationwide. And we're recognizing that the experience of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and what we have done for all these years, we are really in the quote unquote business of homelessness prevention. Because we're trying to help people at that crisis
margin.
Point where they're facing eviction or facing losing everything. And what we're finding, recent studies have shown that it costs about $30,000 to get somebody off the streets back into stable living.
Wow. Okay.
It costs about $3,000 to prevent that from happening.
Wow.
So if we can help that person at
before
that crisis moment,
the
before they go over the edge, exactly, before they're evicted and lose everything, and once they try to get back into housing, it's just near impossible. So, so it really is about trying to help people during that moment of desperation to give them, again, resources and assistance. That's where we're seeing that we're having such a huge impact.
Okay.
And that translates as well into some of the other programs that we have, like our pharmacy.
Okay.
You know, the pharmacy provides free medication to the uninsured, and it's a part of the equation because, as I mentioned earlier, you know, people won't pay their rent or they can't pay their food because they're having to pay for expensive medication.
Yeah.
Well, if we can give them free medication because they're uninsured and they qualify from an income standpoint, then they can take their limited resources and direct them to taking care of food.
Well, you know, it's not lost on me. We lead healthcare practices in our own business life. How staggeringly expensive something like basic medications are in this country. I can't even fathom, right? Especially when we compare it to what happens elsewhere in the world, right? I mean, people, I'm sure, quickly can become bankrupt or lose all of their resources if they have an illness that requires medication.
Right.
They don't qualify. So just a foundational question. Does St. Vincent de Paul's, does the support that it provides, is 100% of it, through its own, the funding for that? There's no government support at all. These funds are all raised by the St. Vincent de Paul Society through various means.
Correct. It's through the generosity of individual donors, wonderful foundations that are aligned to the work that we're trying to do and that see the needs that we're meeting, either in healthcare or education or general poverty, food insecurities, things of that nature.
And so is it fair to say that all of the funding, all of the material resources that you provide in this region are also the result of giving in this region, mm-hmm. or is there support?
It's primarily through this region. We do have some that are outside of the area, but for the most part, the vast majority are from this region.
Okay.
And it also includes a growing number of corporate partners. We're really blessed to have some focus now on trying to develop corporate partnerships.
Okay.
And really being able to engage them to help with our work.
Okay.
A lot of in-kind donations that we receive that allow us then to turn around and make those available to our neighbors.
Okay.
I think I mentioned to you a little bit ago, we'll be publishing our annual report here in just a little bit, but
yeah.
The numbers are already, you know, we can start to share some of that. And last year we took care of 77,000, I'm sorry, the year prior was 77,000 neighbors that we helped.
Okay.
This past year was 82,000. So wow. It was an increase of 5,000.
82,000 individual lives or individuals that you,
yes.
Separate individuals. So yeah, break it down a little bit for me. What are the various, maybe tranches or the various divisions, what are the types of work that you do and how does it sort of break out? What are the various ministries that you have?
Sure. So all of our local conferences, that's where all the kind of the boots on the ground, if you would. That's where so much of the activity happens. And every local conference will determine based on the local community needs, what the needs are that they can try to provide. Because they might be in a neighborhood that happens to have a couple of food pantries. So they decide we don't need a food pantry. We can refer people there. We'll focus on maybe having a hygiene closet, or we'll focus on rent and utility assistance, et cetera.
Okay.
Then we have at the council level, at the higher level, we have larger programs that are too large for any single conference to try and manage.
Okay.
So charitable pharmacy is a good example. I've already, you know, mentioned that.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that because that's a beautiful and amazing development here, right here.
So our charitable pharmacy was started back in 2018, and it was the inspiration of coming through the home visits. Hank Herman, a longtime Vincentian that was just recently honored by the Catholic Foundation.
Yeah.
So shout out to the Catholic Foundation for their great work in supporting not only us, but all the other nonprofits in the area.
Yeah.
But they recognized the work that Hank did and being the visionary leader behind getting a charitable pharmacy started.
Okay.
We have now given out over 385,000 prescriptions since 2018.
Wow.
To over 8,200 unique patients.
Okay.
At a total valuation of over $100 million worth of medications, again, free of charge.
Wow.
To the individual. And it's shipped directly to their home, so they have to come into the
kidding.
Pharmacy.
Okay, so then you mail these to people's homes, okay?
And this is for chronic illnesses like diabetes, high blood pressure, et cetera.
Yeah.
So we have our charitable pharmacy.
Okay.
We have what we call our Study Time program.
Hmm.
Study Time is a after school and mentoring program for students K through 8 at three different campuses, at our thrift store, at Santa Clara, and over at Bishop Lynch.
Okay.
And what we do there is we provide a lot of reading and math enrichment classes for the students, certainly help them with their homework, and help position them so that by the time they get to eighth grade, we help them start to look at private Catholic education opportunities and help them apply for scholarships and financial aid. And we'll provide some of those through a very generous benefactor that helps us be able to send those students to Catholic high school.
So you're soliciting so children, younger grades can apply and show up and be tutored, mm-hmm. mentored, in after school.
Correct.
At these three campuses, and these are, and St. Vincent de Paul volunteers,
right.
are leading classes and doing enrichment at these two different locations.
Correct. It's volunteers and paid staff as well, so facilitators that come to us.
Is it sort of a formal program?
It's open pretty much throughout the entire school year. We typically start like after Labor Day, so allow the kids to kind of get settled into their schools in the month of August, but then we'll open up after Labor Day,
okay.
and then we'll shut down right before the early part of May, right before finals and what have you.
Okay.
It's open for we've taken care of now. It's 130 students each year.
Yeah.
Tend to have a waiting list as well.
And so these are children. So this is also sort of an after school program. So then
yes.
there's a couple of hours that they're able to spend when maybe their parents couldn't even come pick them up or what have you. So then they're active and they're being engaged in studying at a time when maybe that might be a loss.
Yeah, and the neat thing about that as well is that we do have other students, like coming from some of the Catholic high schools, as an example, will come and volunteer, get their service hours in, you know, which is great. And, you know, it's an opportunity for them to mentor these younger students and engage with them. And, and that program has been around for more than 10 years now.
That's called Study Time.
It's called Study Time.
Okay.
And again, that's been a fabulous program. And 95% of our students that, that graduate from our program and go into the Catholic high schools, they'll go on to college.
Wow.
And we've had a couple of college graduates from the program as well. And, one of the beautiful parts about that program is some of those, kids, when they graduate and they go into high school and into the university, they'll come back and volunteer
and
or come to work for us part time, to give back because they know the impact that it's had.
So these children, these students are not, they're drawn from a variety of schools and whatnot when they do the program. So they're not necessarily already in, say, a Catholic school.
Correct. Yeah, okay. That's correct.
So so parents can apply for this program, right?
Yeah. They can go through our website and get information about it, apply. And as I mentioned, there's a waiting list and we're about to wrap up this school year in another month. So we won't be taking any new applicants, but certainly for the next school year, we'll get started. And, again, it's been a fabulous program there.
Okay. So you mentioned the pharmacy. You mentioned the Study Time program. So talk about some of the other programs, and I want to talk about the thrift store in a minute too.
Sure. I was about to mention the thrift store. Another program that we have is our financial literacy, financial education programs.
Okay.
And that really helps us to address providing individuals with financial literacy, helping them to understand some basic financial fundamentals,
budgeting,
things of that nature,
and
then also. Within that toolkit, within that education process, we oftentimes will discover that they have payday or title loans, what we refer to as predatory lending.
Yeah.
And so this is an opportunity for us sometimes to be able to make available to them loans to counteract those predatory loans that oftentimes are charging 300, 400, 600, 700% interest.
Sure.
So we get them out of that financial enslavement, instead give them an opportunity to have a very low interest loan that they pay for within a year, and gives them some of that financial freedom once again.
So, yeah, basic financial literacy, it seems to be such a I'm aware that this is a really significant need in our community, because there's a lot of young people, even parents, families that really don't have not had that basic. It's sad to me, right? So apparently this is something that we need to do earlier, even in schooling, maybe to teach our children basic things about budgeting and
exactly, you know. Exactly. And with the financial, with the economy being the way it is, and with prices having gone up as they have, it just makes it that much more evident that's a need.
Got it. All right. So you mentioned earlier, things like housing assistance, so rent and utilities, right? So, by the way, in all these cases, how do people find out? How do people actually take advantage of these things? You said, of course, go to the website at St. Vincent de Paul. What is that website? Give that to us.
So the website is SVDP Dallas, St. Vincent de Paul Dallas, SVDPDallas.org.
Okay.
And we've got plenty of information there about each one of the different programs that we have.
And people would apply there. They would show up there. Is there another way in which they could put in applications besides the website?
They can go through the website. They could also then reach out to each of the different program leads, and that information is provided there as well.
Okay.
And that would be how they would be able to get in contact with them.
Okay.
And then certainly if they wanted to get in contact with the local conference, they would typically be able to contact the local parish.
Okay.
And if there's a St. Vincent de Paul conference there, then the parish would refer them to that conference.
So I want to understand that. So someone can approach St. Vincent de Paul for its help, at the website, but is your work, does somebody then have to go through each parish organization in order to kind of connect to these resources?
That because of that home visit mentality, right? That relational, aspect that we try to focus on.
Yeah.
We try to direct people to the conference so that the conference, can then reach out and meet with them and get to know their story.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we do have areas where we don't have a conference. And so typically then, If we don't have a conference in that area, then we'll refer them to other resources that are outside of St. Vincent de Paul. Okay. Because we do want this to be something where, again, it's not transactional where here, we'll just give you something. It really is for us to get to know your story, to get to know you, to see how we can help you, to make sure that there's not other things that we might be able to do for you.
Okay.
And so it really does get redirected through our conferences. Again, that's why I say they're the boots on the ground. Nothing happens without the involvement of the Vincentians. They are the absolute core to everything that we do.
Do you find, by the way, that you know, this is interesting because of how I think of this as an organizational problem, because we have such great organizations. Many parishes have human services ministries. Mm-hmm. Many parishes have maybe even some financial resources and whatnot. Do you find that it's very diverse? I mean, how much of an organization, of a structural approach do you take? I mean, do you have to are you trying to run everything in a very clean clockwork type fashion, or is it very much individualized parish by parish?
It really is very individualized by parish. We have some governance things that we need, all conferences to be able to do from a reporting standpoint, but it is all very much driven by what the local needs are for that community.
Yeah.
We ask every conference just to make sure that they are addressing what the local needs are.
Yeah.
I know that there are a lot of parishes that have various social service ministries and things of that nature, which are wonderful.
Yeah.
Kind of as we were talking about a little bit in the break, though, for us, the society first and foremost is about growing in holiness, right? And growing in our spirituality.
Yeah.
So it really is a ministry that is designed to help deepen your faith, and then by virtue of the deepening of your faith, you go out and do works of charity. So I would offer to any pastor that's out there that's listening that doesn't have a St. Vincent de Paul conference, think about maybe a ministry that can help deepen the faith of your community, of your parish, that can then turn around and do some of the works of charity that need to be done.
Yeah.
Even if you have other ministries that are doing that, they can serve with those ministries in partnership.
Yeah.
A big thing that I try to focus on and emphasize with all of our Vincentians is that we are trying to work side by side with all the other workers in the vineyard in God's kingdom, right? Trying to help.
Yes.
So this is not about competing with other nonprofits. This isn't about competing with other social ministries. This is about how can we work together. Our Vincentian charism is one about growing in our holiness.
Yeah.
And the best way we can exemplify that is by cooperating and partnering with others.
Yeah, there's something beautiful to that. And I have to admit, that what you've indicated here, Luis, is that is something that I've found to be lacking personally, even in my walk of faith, in parishes over the years, right? So, the ability to be hands-on, the ability to have a lot of direct connection to the needs out there and to be personally involved, but not to have to go find it. If I'm part of a conference, that is the very work of this organization. And I think I think it's grounded in that prayer life, in that regular scripture study, that regular fellowship with people. That's where everything starts and maybe ends, and touching the needs of neighbors and helping them. So I think there's something really beautiful, and I have to confess that I've learned something here today. I didn't really understand structurally how this worked, and I think it's beautiful, and frankly, it's a very practical way for people to sort of create a lifelong. To me, that's always been troubling for me. How am I helping all the time, right? I can't just do this occasionally, right? I can't just show up at a food pantry at Thanksgiving and help. So we're talking with Luis Gonzalez, CEO of North Texas St. Vincent de Paul Society, about the great work of this organization. We're going to take a short break and be back in a couple of minutes to wrap up and hear about some very specific ways in which we can all help support their work. We'll be back on Faith and Leadership at DFW Alive.
The Angels of Charity, the women's auxiliary group for Catholic Charities Dallas, will host their annual Mass and Luncheon on Wednesday, May 21st at the National Shrine Cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Dallas. Join them for morning Mass celebrated by Bishop Edward Burns, followed by a luncheon at the Meyerson Symphony Center, plus words of inspiration from this year's guest speaker, Heather Tomalchoff. The proceeds from this event support the work of CCD's Educational Services Program. For more information, visit ccdallas.org.
Hi, I'm Evan Frazier, owner and senior financial specialist at TechWise Financial. I'm a graduate of Benedictine College and a sponsor of the great programming you hear daily here on Guadalupe Radio Network. You know, it's tax season, and if you'd like advice or assistance filing your taxes, I'm available to help. You know, I can also speak about any financial questions or concerns that you have, including wills and trusts. You know, so to learn more about TechWise Financial, you can visit us at techwisefinancial.com. That's T-E-K-W-I-S-E financial.com. Or you can call me directly, 719-413-5614.
Welcome back to Faith and Leadership on DFW Live. We're talking about the St. Vincent de Paul Society and the website for anybody that wants to gather more information, learn more, and maybe become more involved is SVDP Dallas. So that's SVDP as in St. Vincent de Paul, Dallas.org. Is that right, Luis?
Yes. Yep.
So Luis, I want to make sure that people can find their way to you, and we'll also post information on our website, which is CaritasMedia.org. And I do absolutely want to ask you, before we finish, let's ask right now, you know, how can people get involved? What are the places? And I want to ask you about the emerging needs in our community, right? And I think, we tend to sort of not have the greatest understanding. I mean, this is an interesting society. We've got great need. We've got, some of these emerging, issues. You've got a lot of people. This is a town. We have a lot of people coming through this city that are new, that are transient, that may be newcomers. Talk a little bit about some of those emerging things. Talk about your thrift store real quickly before we go on and kind of close that loop.
Yeah, so our thrift store has been right on our Northwest Highway. It's probably the one of the flagships that most folks, when they hear about St. Vincent de Paul, that's what they think about is the thrift store. Yeah. And it's been there now for, I believe it's 17 years.
Wow, really?
Hugely successful. Yeah. Alex Lopez and the team there are just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a massive operation there.
Yeah.
And what's beautiful there is people can drop off donations.
Okay, so how does somebody do that?
Yeah, so if you've got, you're doing your spring cleaning, right, because it's starting to get warm. So as people do their spring cleaning, instead of having a garage sale, bring it down to the thrift store. And, okay. We'll accept the donations.
Okay.
It's tax deductible. So this way, you've got that as a tax deduction.
What are your hours at the thrift store?
Boy, it's on our website. Yeah, you got to put me on the spot there. But I believe it's as early as like 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning until I believe it's 7 or 8 in the evening.
Okay.
And what you're able to do is you're able to drop that off, and then what Alex and the team there at the thrift store, what they'll do is they'll go through all of that, sort that, and get that out onto the floor.
Okay.
And sell that at nice low prices. Okay. That make it very affordable for folks that are looking for used goods.
Yeah.
But then the beauty behind that is we're able to take the proceeds from that.
Yeah.
And a portion of those proceeds come back to us at the council for us to distribute to all of our local conferences.
Okay.
So they can in turn use that money to give to those that are in need. So no matter how you go about, whether you're donating at the thrift store or buying at the thrift store,
yeah,
you're helping, because ultimately those are funds that we can then turn around and give to our neighbors in need.
And you'll accept donations of what types of goods?
Clothing, furniture, housewares, decor. We actually now have a brand new mattress program that's been around for, I think, about a year and a half, where people can go and purchase mattresses. We won't accept mattresses just for health purposes.
Of course.
But we do have mattresses available at low prices for individuals that are looking for that.
Okay,
and,
great.
So it's a great operation out there, doing a lot of great work. And they have bins throughout the entire diocese. I believe it's over 40 different bins where people can go and drop off donations.
And there are different parishes and whatnot?
At various parishes, even a couple of schools as well, where they can drop things off, and then we service those, pick those up.
Okay.
You can reach out to Alex as well and coordinate donation drives where we can bring the thrift store truck to a parish and have it there for a weekend so parishioners can drop things off. And,
oh, I see.
Again, it's a visible way of making the thrift store just come alive for people to become aware of it.
Very good. So, all right. So that's the thrift store. Talk about some of your other ministries that we haven't discussed.
The one other big program that we have is down in the southern sector of Dallas County in Lancaster, our St. Vincent Center. That's a hub of collaboration and services that we really are utilized to bring other nonprofits into the area to help us with partnering.
Okay.
So we've got a great partnership with North Texas Food Bank, Catholic Charities Dallas, and we run the Jean Pruitt Food Pantry at that location. We're working now with the St. Paul Medical Clinic to offer a low-cost medical clinic on our campus as well. We've got a wonderful partnership with Walmart and Amazon to be able to donate goods to us that that we turn around and make available to our neighbors that are there, and great partnerships as well with a variety of our electric providers.
And this is in Lancaster.
This is all down in Lancaster, and it's all there to be a hub of services for that community.
Okay.
So it's really servicing Lancaster, Hutchins, DeSoto, that area,
okay.
And really just trying to help the neighbors that are there.
Okay.
Our most recent program that we've really gotten a lot of success with now is also our Neighborhoods of Hope program there, which is really intended to help with workforce development, providing people with opportunities to get connected to some of the local employers and find meaningful, engaging employment opportunities to help them.
So what are some of your emerging works? I mean, what are you needing help with, and what would you encourage listeners to do?
We need help with all of our programs that we have. What's emerging now is I would like to see us continue to grow some of our signature programs, like the pharmacy, like our thrift store, like our St. Vincent Center, like our study time. Each one of those have been successful. I would love to see us expand that to other parts of the diocese, and really land ourselves in communities where we see that there's an opportunity for us to make our presence known, and really become a beacon of hope for people. And really, that's ultimately what I want us to be known for, is being an organization of hope.
Yeah.
We actually, next month, we're going to be having our annual Spark of Hope breakfast fundraiser.
Okay.
And it's a place
where... So how can people participate with that?
Well, they can reach out to our director of development, Ned Hogan, and inquire about getting tickets for that.
Okay.
We do have some tables that we make
this
available.
This is a breakfast event?
Yeah, it's a breakfast on February, May 2nd.
Okay.
And it really is an opportunity for us to champion and showcase the different programs. We always honor individuals every year that have just played a critical role in the success of each one of our programs. Bishop Burns is actually going to be our keynote speaker for that event.
Okay.
And then we also share some neighbor stories as well. So it makes for a real, really inspiring, delightful, event where people get to know more about what we're doing and how they can get involved.
Yeah.
And to kind of answer your earlier question, people can get involved by reaching out to us again through our website. They can volunteer. We're always looking for volunteers.
Yeah.
If people are inspired by, I want to become a Vincentian, we can connect you with a local conference that's close to you.
And if somebody wants to start a conference, which I think is a wonderful way to get together with people who are like-minded, people who want to increase their faith life, improve their, and then really become personally engaged in serving the needy, right?
Yeah,
right.
They can definitely reach out to us as well through our Vincentian support group. We're actively working on trying to promote new conferences. And as I mentioned, we have three new ones that are getting started up this year.
Wow, so three new, that's essentially three new
parish-based
organizations, right?
Yeah.
So, Luis, this has been an amazing discovery here for me, even being relatively close to St. Vincent de Paul and knowing some of the work that you do. It's really inspiring to know that what you do is grounded in a personal prayer life, in growing and growth and holiness, as you mentioned, and that ultimately that you're also so fruitfully engaged in making a difference in our community here in North Texas. There are great organizations, Catholic Charities, and so many others that do good work in the area, but you guys are really a beacon of hope. I really want to thank you for
thank
your
you.
Work, for your personal witness. Anybody who wants to reach out, please look at svdpdallas.org. Show up for what is the name of the breakfast again?
The Spark of Hope Breakfast.
The Spark of Hope Breakfast coming up on May 2nd. Thank you for listening today. We'll be back next month. And again, remember July 19th, the 25th anniversary celebration, Keeping the Promise, Guadalupe Radio Networks, a summer event on the 19th of July at the Plano Convention Center. Come out and join the entire crowd. Join us and participate in this incredible celebration. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next time with DFW Live.
The Fort Worth Diocese and Mother and Unborn Baby Care present the 40th Annual Good Friday Rosary Vigil for Life. The Good Friday Rosary Vigil will take place on Friday, April 18th from 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. outside of the Planned Parenthood Abortion Center in Fort Worth. Join Bishop Michael Olson and invoke the intercession of our Blessed Mother to end the culture of death. For more information, visit the Fort Worth Diocese website at fwdioc.org and click on calendar.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail, Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail, Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. Hail, Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may, by his passion and cross, be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen.
KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.